And just a reminder, you can also hear Governor Ricketts' news conference today right here on KIOS at 2 o'clock. Well, we've talked about the frontline personnel, Mayor, to an extent. But what about the police, the fire, the EMTs? You had mentioned you want them to wear gloves, et cetera. You've got great leadership there Captain Olson and Todd Schmatter. But is there a bit of fear? What if it starts to go through, the COVID-19 starts to affect either one of those?
Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm very concerned about that, because our first responders are on the front line. They're out there dealing with people every single day and interacting with them. I want them to be tested. I want test kits available for all of our first responders, and they're not available yet for them. You know, we are still using the CDC guidelines. It's very strict guidelines. It's a tiered priority, and first responders are a second priority right now if they have symptoms. You know, if they don't have any symptoms, they're just like the rest of us, and I would like to get that changed because they interact every day. But it is really important they have a medical director for each, the fire department and the police department. We've had a medical director for fire for years, but we haven't had one for police, and we appointed one because I wanted to make sure that if any firefighter or any police officer had a question, needed to be tested, was symptomatic, had anything going on with their health, that we didn't say, oh, go to your own doctor and get this figured out. We had one person there that they could go to that would make the decisions how they would be tested. And so, yeah, I'm very concerned with them. I would like to be able to test them more. I've been trying to work with Dr. Poor on that to see if at least we could get more tested to take care of our first responders. And then, you know, I would really like them to wear masks and wear gloves when they are out in public. I think it's good visually, but it's also helpful to protect them, because they don't know a lot of times where they're going or in what situation that they are going to be in. Now, I will say this, our Omaha Fire Department, I mean, they wrote the book on how to transport patients with Ebola. They understand how to take care of themselves, how to disinfect the gear, the PPEs that they wear. They understand that. But, you know, there's a small group of them that were involved in doing those transports of patients with Ebola and our patients now with COVID-19 that they were transporting when they were out at Camp Ashland. And so I want to protect the entire department. And so that's something that I think that that's another thing that I've talked to the governor and Dr. Poor about just today, too, about. And I feel like it's ultimately my responsibility. You know, I do have the ability, although my authority is limited on making directive health orders, I do have the authority on city facilities. So that would be parks, that would be fire stations and police station precinct headquarters and things like that. And I want to make sure that we have written protocol that is established, that is agreed upon by not only the medical directors, but our healthcare experts and the health department, that if, for example, we start getting firefighters on a certain shift at a fire station that are testing positive, then what do we do with that entire shift at that entire station? You know, do we have them all wear masks, or do we all send them home and isolate them? So these are things that we are working on, because we need to have that in written protocol. And so that is a big concern. You know, we do have three firefighters that have tested positive. These firefighters so far that have tested positive were not in a station. They were all in the administration building, and one was on furlough and had been on vacation, so wasn't exposed to everybody. But that's a big concern. You know, like if we, for instance, would have half of our police department or half of our fire department test positive, then there's a whole other group of problems that we're going to have to be dealing with. We need to keep both our fire and police department as healthy as we can. And, you know, I've had people say to me, well, your police department isn't doing anything anymore because there's no traffic out there. The police department is really busy right now. In fact, they're busier than they've ever been because, unfortunately, even though traffic is out doing compliance checks, unfortunately, there still is crime going on there still is all those things that we need our police department and our detectives for and our unified command for. So we need to keep them healthy, and it is a big concern of mine and the chief's. So far this morning, I've talked to Chief Olson, I've talked to Chief Schmatter, I've talked to Governor Ricketts, and I've talked to Adi Poor, and I've talked to both medical directors just about this issue with our fire department and police department.
You know, one of our members, Don Miller, wrote in his question, has Omaha's crime rate been affected by the virus?
You know, interestingly enough, because just talking to Chief Schmatter yesterday, within the first couple weeks, you know, this has only been around 4 weeks. The first couple weeks, it seemed to really flatten out. And we weren't seeing a lot at all. I mean, it seemed like, you know, the gang unit felt like they were not seeing any activity in with our gangs. Things had really flattened out, and now we're seeing it get back to normal.
Right.
So we're seeing, you know, all those different crimes, whether it be, you know, car theft, fraud, whatever it was, that they are back to normal levels again. Interestingly enough, at first, within the first 2 weeks, we saw a real uptick of domestic violence, unfortunately. And that was, you know, maybe it was because more people were home for long periods of time because of the stress. I don't know what it was. But we have seen that. We've seen the domestic violence calls are back to about normal again, too. But no, I think right now it looks like things are about normal as they have been in the past, with the exception of different traffic, you know, violations that we see because there's not as much traffic out there.
Shifting gears once again, what are the plans for the election and polling places in Omaha if most of the usual places such as schools are closed? That comes from one of our listeners, Linda.
Yeah, you know, that's a question that a lot of people are questioning and talking about. From the very beginning, I talked to the Secretary of State, and he said he had no intention whatsoever of canceling the May primary. The determination about the election, though, it comes from the Secretary of State, and it also has a lot to do with our Douglas County Election Commissioner. So that is not under my authority. That's under Douglas County. But Brian Cruz is our Election Commissioner. I've talked to him numerous times about this. He has announced, he's asked me to announce, which I have, that he is really encouraging people to send in a mail-in ballot. And you know, you can do that up until the 1st of May. So we continue to encourage people to vote, but to vote by mail. Brian Cruz at this point in time has not made a decision about the polling places. He's gonna kind of evaluate how this goes with how many ballots we are getting by mail. But right now, as far as the last time I spoke to him, which was a few days ago, his intention was is to still have the polling places open, but to ask people to practice social distancing. And so it was amazing. I think the first day, the first round of early ballot requests, there was about 30,000. And yesterday there were over 80,000 people requesting early ballots. So a lot of people are taking his recommendations to heart, and I think they're doing that. So the primary will go on. It won't be stopped. And that we just continue to urge people to fill out a request to have a mail-in ballot and to make sure you vote. Yeah,
right.
That's important.
Listener Tom Baker writes, are trash and recycling collection services considered essential services, and do you expect any sort of delay as we move along?
Oh, yes. They are absolutely essential services, and we want to make sure that that continues. Now, I had a couple calls today that some of the routes were missed yesterday, and we had a report that about 10% were missed yesterday, and they'll be picked up today because of just the thing that we're all dealing with. Waste Management has employees mm-hmm. that are sick, have been confirmed, or that are in isolation now. So they have to deal with a reduced staff too. So Waste Management did do an announcement last week, effective this past Monday, that they are gonna limit yard waste collection, and they wanted to limit it to 4 cans or bags of yard waste that would be collected from each residential customer. And they felt like that was necessary as they prepare for potential reductions in staff due to illness. And so yard waste and solid waste, unfortunately, during this period of time, is going to have to be collected together. People don't like it. I don't like it. But just during this period of time now, hopefully to get through April, that we can co-collect and limit the amount of numbers so that we can continue to pick up trash. Picking up trash is an essential city service, and it's a public health issue, and it must continue. There is no change, though, that they've announced on solid waste or recycling. None have been, no changes have been made. But it's just they have to prepare for a reduction in workforce, too.
And you mentioned through the end of April. I think a lot of these things we're talking about, people need to understand. You might come back and change that.
It might,
every
yes.
day something is new mm-hmm. and can change trash mm-hmm. or whatever it may be. We may have to adjust down the road.
That's true. I think it's easier for me to understand, so hopefully it's easier for the citizens to understand. If you say this is in effect until the end of April, so
right.
you know that this is what's going to happen till the end of April, but everything is subject to change if we find we need to. But it's you know, we always, and we repeat this all the time, there will be an end to this. We know there will be. We're seeing, you know, if the peak is the 23rd of April, which they are predicting, and we start seeing less and less people diagnosed as and confirmed as positive, less people needing hospitalization, less serious cases, and we could let up on some of these restrictions, we will let everybody know. But kind of put an end time on it, I think it just helps people plan a little better. Well, I know until right. the end of April that I'm only going to be able to put out 4 bags of yard waste, so I got to prepare till the end of April. So, you know, if you got to go to like Home Depot and get your bags now, it's time to go get them now. But we are trying to do the best we can to not disrupt city services, to provide the same type of services. But these are really, this is uncharted territory. And this is nothing that we want to do. It's things right. that we feel like we have to do. I think when this time of year, and when I think of all the things that we had planned that are now changed, when I think of, you know, the College World Series and the NCAA and the Berkshire Hathaway and all the concerts that people were planning on going to and all the baseball games and high school graduations, you know, it just really weighed heavy on my heart when that 10-person rule was put into effect. And people were saying, you know, my dad has a funeral this week. What am I going
right.
to do? Or my daughter has a wedding that we've planned for the last 2 years. All of that went out the door with this. It's really hard on everybody, and I get it. It's hard to deal with right now. I have the 3 little adorable grandsons. All of them are under 2.5 years old. A baby, a 2-year-old, and a 2.5 year old. And I haven't seen them for 2 weeks. And you know, I'm out in public a lot. My husband is taking care of patients, and we just feel like we shouldn't. And so we haven't seen them. So we do FaceTime with them a lot.
You're good.
And that's about all we can do right now.
Right. A question from Gene Waters. Have you considered temporarily suspending the mayor's restaurant tax or using the income of the tax to support our struggling restaurants and bars?
You know, the issue is the restaurants are closed. The bars are closed. There is no restaurant tax
right.
in revenue coming in. So it really makes no sense at all to say it's suspended now. We're not getting the revenue from it at all. And so, you know, some of the restaurants that still have carry out, it is not the restaurant tax that is preventing people from coming in there. It's the virus right now. And, you know, and I will say this too, the city budget, and I don't even really want to dwell on it now because right now we're talking about saving people's lives and keeping them well. But the city's budget has been hit extremely hard. And, you know, in an average year, the restaurant tax brings in about $33 million a year. It's not going to bring that in this year at all. And right now, with the loss of the restaurant tax, other occupation tax, sales tax, the severe losses we're having from all of those events that I just mentioned that are canceled, we are talking perhaps even up to $100 million
mm-hmm.
loss in a city budget, general fund, that's a $400 million budget. I mean, that's a quarter of the budget that we won't be having the income. So, you know, my feeling now is I've got to keep the police department, the fire department, all these city departments up and running the best that I possibly can right now. But to take another chunk of money out of the budget would even mean more severe cuts. And so right now everything's up in the air. But taking away or canceling a restaurant tax now when there's really no revenue coming in from the restaurants is really not going to do anything for anybody.
Well, we're starting to talk a little bit about exit strategies, which is, you know, the light of the at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. While it's, I guess, maybe even impossible to start thinking about 3, 4, or 5 months down the road due to the severity of what's happening right now, have there been discussions about the massive loss in revenues and how and what does 3 or 4 months look like down the road?
You know, and that's something that we work on constantly, too, because, again, this will end. We will move into recovery. I don't think, and no one thinks that are experts, that recovery is going to be anything quick. You know, the CARES Act, the $2 trillion from the federal government, we're in the stage three of it right now. We're still trying to figure that out, what that means for cities and businesses and small businesses. In the past couple days, I have talked to Senator Fisher, I've talked to Senator Sasse, I've talked to Congressman Bacon, I've talked to our D.C. lobbyist, I've talked to the governor. We're all talking about just, and David Brown, the president of the Greater Omaha Chamber, had a long conversation with him this morning, is what are we going to do together to get businesses back up and running again and to get into this recovery so people can get back to work and start making income. Part of this phase three of this CARES Act, there's a lot of, you know, the paycheck recovery that's in there. The loans to small businesses is in there. It's how to apply for those is a big question now to help small businesses get back on their feet. If anybody has any questions and has a small business, I think the best local resource is the Chamber of Commerce website, the Greater Omaha Chamber, and they have a resource page, and they have all the information a small business would need about how to apply for a loan and what this loan means to them. You know, the thing that concerns me and all other mayors of all other cities, and I'm working with the Mayor Lincoln on this too, and she's a delightful person. She's a new mayor. But, you know, what does this CARES Act mean to the cities? Right now, with this phase three that we have going on, it only has money for COVID-related expenses. It does not have money for lost revenue. And that's what most cities are suffering from. You know, 41% of my general fund is sales tax. Mm-hmm. 47% of the Mayor Lincoln's budget is sales tax. It's the loss of revenue that we are dealing with about how are we going to keep the city up and running as we go into recovery. And that's why we're talking to our elected officials in D.C. is there's going to be a fourth phase of this. And with the fourth phase, they're going to look at more at, is there going to be money for cities for lost revenue to help them get back on their feet again? One of the things that we're considering is, if it is COVID-related expenses, like could the city of Omaha, for example, have a fund or create a fund that we could give small business loans or small business grants to help our businesses get back on their feet again? And so these are, and don't have to go through the SBA, the Small Business Administration in Washington, D.C., because that could be challenging mm-hmm. at times. So we're looking at all of these things as to have a good, solid plan of all the steps that we need to make that the experts recommend to get us back on our feet again. David Brown with the Chamber shared an excellent report with me this morning that really kind of walks you through what you should be looking at as you take step by step back to recovery. We hope our businesses will come back. I really worry about the restaurants because they've had to lay so many people off. So many people were part-time, don't have any income right now. But having said that, one area of business I want to mention that I get a lot of questions about is construction. And people are saying, you know, why don't you shut down all the construction? They don't have good hand washing there. They're working close together. If we could keep construction going, the better for us during recovery. If you look at a lot of states that have shelter in place or stay at home or safer at home orders, their construction are exempt from that. Because the more we can keep people still working, A lot of construction is outside. Bringing home a paycheck, the easier it is going to be in this recovery phase for us to get back on our feet again.
You know, I've probably watched and listened to way too much news over the last month, but
you and me both, I'm telling you.
Is there a fear? I know you talked. You mentioned you talked to Dr. Poor all the time. Is there a fear of this coming back in the fall?
Yes.
And go through this all over again?
No, that's exactly true, and it will. We know that. It'll go down, and we will see this again. But how viruses, and it's been a long time since I took virology. It's been a long time since I practiced as a nurse, but you still remember all that things. But what happens basically with a pandemic and viruses, because look at the flu. It does the same thing with the flu, is they mutate. Mm-hmm. There's different strains. They have found in China that there's already at least two, if not three, strains of COVID. They call it A, B, and C right now. But what it tends to do is it becomes more infectious but less deadly. And that's what happens with the flu. And then, though, when it does come back in the fall, we perhaps will have an antiviral medication that will work against it, because right now there's no treatment at all except symptomatic treatment. Or hopefully, usually in 12 to 18 months, you will have some sort of a vaccine that will work against it. So take example, the flu again. You know, we all get our flu shots and our vaccines every winter. Hopefully we all do. But you still get the flu. You may get a much lighter case. It's less deadly. It's less, you know, it could be more infectious because, like I said, Douglas County had almost 7,000 cases of diagnosed flu. But people aren't dying from it and getting deathly ill from it. And I think that's what you're going to see with COVID. You know, hopefully in a year or so, we're going to say, well, we're going to go get our flu shot, our pneumonia shot, which we do now, and our COVID shot, because there will be a vaccine for it. And so I think we can expect that we will see it again, but hopefully not in any way, shape, or form like we're seeing it right now.
I want to hit on another question from a listener. You've enacted a temporary freeze on evictions in Omaha. Now, can you elaborate on where we stand with the landlord situation and evictions?
Sure. And, you know, I did not have an order to do that because I do not have the authority to do it again. That came from the governor. And that was an order from him. The thing, and I want to explain this just briefly, and I get my authority, or the mayor of Omaha gets their authority, from the city charter and the Omaha Municipal Code. City charter says there's three branches of government. There's executive, judiciary, and legislature. I am the executive branch. The judges are the judicial. The city council is the legislative. I don't have any power to override the judges,
okay,
the judicial system, so I can't change a judge's order. So what Claire Duda, who's chair of the Douglas County Board, and I did, is we put out basically a statement asking landlords to consider,
right,
halting all evictions that are COVID-related until this passes, until they really lift all the restrictions. The governor, however, did it in order and basically said any evictions that are COVID-related to halt them until further notice, until this passes. He didn't say any evictions that were already on the books because of other reasons. Perhaps they're living in a place full of code violations, or it's unsafe for the person to live there. So those continue on to be heard. But what we really meant and what we really want is, during this outbreak, when we're trying to control the spread, the last thing we want, no matter what your situation is somebody to be thrown out of their house, potentially out on the street. Because we're trying to isolate people, we're telling people to stay at home, don't go out. The last thing we want is people to lose their homes. And so that's why we ask. Now, I will tell you that I got a lot of emails from very angry landlords, mm-hmm, because we asked this. And they were all saying, well, what about me? How am I going to pay for my, you know, loan to the bank or my mortgage? And, you know, there are ways during this that all banks are giving small loans out, and they're looking at people with mortgages with them too. So there are ways that those landlords that own property can deal with this too. But the whole thing is to try to stop the spread of the virus, and we don't want people being thrown out of their homes on the street while this is going on.
We have about 2 minutes left. I want to first of all thank you for coming in today. As you mentioned, you are very busy. I can attest to that.
We are busy.
Mayor Stothert was talking to the governor in her car before she even came in the building today. So lots going on. Could you sum up kind of where we're at and I guess in a short few sentences of your hopes, I guess, for the next two weeks as we come close to a peak period.
And I just want to, again, to reassure the citizens of Omaha and to thank them, too. This is hard for them. They have not ever had these types of restrictions put on them, and there might be more. These are pretty serious restrictions. People say, I've lost my freedoms. Yes, you have. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, but government in times of war, in times of national emergencies, in times of pandemics, especially the federal government, has tremendous power to make decisions for the health and welfare of the people. But the great thing about it is these things are temporary. Mm-hmm. And what I promise every citizen of Omaha is I will do everything in my power once this passes, and it will pass, to get all those freedoms back and to get us back just the way we were before. There is an end to this. This will pass. We will recover from it. It's something like we've never dealt with before. But I think in the end, we will be stronger and more united than we have been before, because we will really recognize we are all one community. And as one community, we will get through this together.
Thank you so much for your time today.
You bet. My pleasure.
Mayor Gene Stothert and the discussion on COVID-19 as it relates to the Omaha Metro. A reminder that Governor Ricketts' news conference is at 2 o'clock today. You'll hear it right here on KIOS FM. It's going to be about 80 degrees today, so enjoy the day, but make sure you practice your social distancing. Thank you so much.
The state of Nebraska is working together. Here's Coach Scott Frost.
Nebraskans have proven many times that we look out for each other and we care about our neighbors. As our state and our country are facing the threat of COVID-19, it's time to come together as a team once again. Do your part to keep all Nebraskans safe from this virus, especially the most vulnerable. Follow your local social distancing guidelines. If you're sick, stay home. Don't have groups of more than 10 people. Use proper hygiene to prevent the spread of the virus. We need to take this threat seriously. We'll get through it just like every other challenge Nebraska faces by working together. One state, one team, one heartbeat. Stay safe and go Big Red.
For more information about COVID-19 and the state of Nebraska's directed health measures and guidelines for social distancing, visit dhhs.ne.gov/coronavirus. This message aired in cooperation with the Nebraska Broadcasters Association and this station.